Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to The Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are... or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with my good buddy, Lotus of Doom.
Hello.
Lotus, have you brought your sunscreen?
I at this point, I would be very okay just getting burnt at this point because we just had a blizzard where I live.
Okay, you can still get sunburned in a blizzard afterwards.
Yeah, but no, I'm just totally on board with just direct rays of sun
direct
and heat.
Sunlight. Like,
I'm feeling the Hammerfell right now.
Yeah, man. We're going to Hammerfell. We're continuing our journey around Tamriel. We decided to skip the little bit of Cyrodiil that sticks out on the ocean as we move north from Somerset.
Yeah, think of it like a conch shell. We're going to go all around the continent and end in the middle.
Yeah. We'll do Cyrodiil at last. But yeah, we're up to Hammerfell. And obviously Hammerfell is known for the big Alakir Desert, which is the majority of the zone. But we'll be getting into some of the details about Hammerfell. And part of what's so fun about talking about Hammerfell is this is one of the prime assumed locations for the next major Elder Scrolls game.
The leading theory on Elder Scrolls 6 at the moment.
Yeah, leading theory. And that's exciting because... Well, first of all, it's another one of those locations that we didn't really get in any of the other games other than Arena and Daggerfall so, and Redguard.
Yes. And actually, you're on the islands of you're on the outskirt islands of this area as well. So,
yeah, pirates and stuff.
Right. It's very piratey
and really bad voice acting.
Really, except for the main character. Awful, awful voice acting.
This was in the era of voice acting in games was not a regular thing yet. So
yeah, I just assume they spent all their budget on the main character.
Probably.
Because that dude's voice is great. Everyone else. We'll just leave it at that. Everyone else.
Right. But in Daggerfall, we get the northern coastline area.
A little bit. Yeah. I was going to say you in my playthrough series, I've actually just been dealing a lot with Sentinel, which is, kind of the top of the Alakir Desert and stuff like that. So you get the northern part area.
That's interesting. You call it Sentinel. I call it
Sentinel.
Sentinel. Yeah,
I kind of overemphasize that. Yeah,
well, just
something.
We mispronounced Nevada during the pre-chat.
And, Nevada.
Nevada.
Very
Nevada.
Bostonian.
It's Nevada. Nevada. I'm going to Nevada.
I don't like that. I said it and I don't even like that.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Wow. Well,
now that we've butchered all types of pronunciation.
Yeah. Well, since we brought this up, we are still planning to get together with everybody. So if you are listening to the show and you're going to Las Vegas, let us know. What we're going to do in the future is set up a very specific channel on the Robots Radio Discord for like going to Las Vegas, ESO at Las Vegas or something like that. So that if anybody wants to chime in and say, hey, I'm going to be there, we can make a point to be like, okay, we'll look for you. And then any news about where we're going to be or if we're going to meet up or even while we're there, if someone's like, hey, I'm going out for lunch, anybody want to join me or whatever,
sure,
you can post
nice,
to that channel.
Easy update. Yep.
Yeah. So that's why we're talking about Nevada. Can I pronounce it like that, Rob? But anyway, let's talk about the Nevada of Tamriel.
Perfect.
Hammerfell.
That segue was just chef's kiss. Mwah.
Brilliant. Brilliant stuff. Thanks also to Rob for that. So Hammerfell, also known as Haggith, the Deathland, or Deathlands. This is another one of those titles that I'm just like, what? Wait, what? That's a thing?
Yep.
That comes from the Pocket Guide to the Empire, by the way, which is full of all sorts of good, these kinds of goodies. It keeps coming up, right? And
never racist.
Never racist. and Volenfell, also named Volenfell.
Yep.
Now, this is the province that it borders a number of different places. Skyrim, Cyrodiil, High Rock. And for the most part is known for the Alakir Desert. But like we mentioned before, there's some other locations. There's a very long coastline with it's got almost like a peninsula on top of a peninsula or underneath, I guess. So it would be south of. It's like a double peninsula, sort of. With other peninsulas on it. Now, I noticed this is a really funny thing I noticed about the map. And for those of most of you who are listening on audio, go look up Hammerfell and go to the fandom.com website. No, is it the fandom? No, it was the UASP. If you scroll down to the bottom of the UASP one, you'll notice that the map of the region from Arena, Redguard, Morrowind, Oblivion, and Anthology are all here. Now, I noticed that there's this one, you'll see the main peninsula, right? And then south from that is a little tiny thin peninsula that goes into like a bigger section.
Yes.
That part is redrawn differently from Arena to Redguard. And then specifically in Morrowind, there's a region that goes on the right side that goes up rather than coming down off the peninsula. It's this weird little thing I noticed. And then by Oblivion, it was fixed back to the Arena version.
Back to the Arena version. It's weird because it's definitely one of those map inconsistencies that is literally consistently inconsistent. There's a few of those, and this is one of them where it's just always changing depending upon which game and era you're in and stuff.
Do you think maybe that little part of the peninsula is like sometimes the water is higher or lower? And so.
Oh, that'd be
like
kind of
over time parts of it sank or something.
Yeah. So it's not even like a situation where, you know, there's the
fallibility
of the people, you know, supposedly in lore actually trying to graphic it out because there's, you know, real life map inconsistencies.
Right.
But this one's actually they're just looking at it and finding that it's different based on when it's being taking place. That would be kind of amusing. It's
wouldn't that be weird?
No, these aren't inconsistencies. It's literally changing. That'd be kind of amusing.
Yeah. So this region is exciting. I think this would be a really cool place to visit in the next Elder Scrolls game for a number of reasons. First of all, there's the Red Guards, and we're not going to get too much into history of the cultures and things like we've mentioned with these. We're mostly talking about the land and the locations and things like that. But one thing to keep in mind is that Hammerfell has a very old history. Before the Red Guards, the Regatta, showed up and migrated to Tamriel, which we've talked about in some of those episodes, this region was inhabited by other people. The deserts, for the most part, weren't super inhabited, as far as we know.
Yeah, sort of always barren, as deserts tend to mostly be.
Right, and for the most part, they had like giant scorpions and beasts and things that would keep people out of them anyway. Not to mention, they're a desert, so why would you want to settle in a desert where you don't have any water?
Yeah,
but this area of Hammerfell was also inhabited by the Needs before the Regatta got there, because the Needs showed up first. But even before that, by the Dwemer. There are Dwemer runes.
There sure are.
In this region. So having a game that comes directly after Morrowind and, well, I guess Skyrim directly after that with all the Dwemer runes there, but also Dwemer runes in places like Morrowind and a little bit in, were there Dwemer runes in Oblivion?
No, it's pretty much all Aeliad ruins.
I think it was all just Aeliads. I don't remember if there was even a single one. Somebody's going to correct me on this. But anyway, having previous games with Dwemer ruins and then to be able to move into an area like Hammerfell so far away from the main location of the Dwemer over in Morrowind and then places in
but
Skyrim.
But you still encounter some of that because, you know, the current bridge to all the games with filling stuff out is Elder Scrolls Online. And ironically, there is a dungeon just called Volenfell in Elder Scrolls Online. And it involves a group kind of like going through the remains of a Dwemer. It's not really a dungeon, but like, I mean, it's a dungeon based on coding like in game, but it's like a region because a lot of it's outside and you're trying to find which areas have caved in and which haven't and how you can excavate different things. And it's all Dwemeri based. So it's kind of neat.
And so much of it being desert. And I mean, we're still excavating places in Egypt. Like human beings are still finding things lost to time in the deserts of the Sahara. Imagine all the stuff that could be underneath Hammerfell or the Al-Akir Desert. So you've got a lot of cool stuff there with that. You've got the cultures and the cultural connections and the history there. So that's exciting. But then you also have some of these other regions like the coastlines, which are more likely close to the jungle regions are more likely along the coastlines and close to some of those locations. Grasslands, there are other places that are part of Hammerfell, and it butts up against Skyrim. So you've got mountains over on the east side. You've got mountains and then other locations near High Rock that are a little bit closer in, you know, kind of scenery wise to those locations as well. It's actually a very, I always just think desert, but there's so much more there.
There really is. And it's like, even though the majority of it is very deserty, it's like you had mentioned, the coastline's very tropical. And then once you start looking out into the islands and stuff like that in the Abyssian Sea, that's when you really get like not deserty at all. I mean, Stros Mackay's very deserty, but like you have, you know, the biggest ones are the Sistrus Islands, which we got in last year's expansion to Elder Scrolls Online, which we had gotten nothing except a mention of it once from the book that came with the Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard. That was really the only nod to it, and they flesh it out, and it's basically a tropical paradise over there. And that's technically part of the region. So it's like, it does have diversity, even if it's not quite as extreme as some of the others, you know, might be.
Right. And I think it would be an exciting location to visit. Also, you have the cultural stuff, which, again, we're not going to dig into too much, but lots of coastline, pirates, like all of that kind of cultural side of it. And the Red Guard are just freaking awesome. And they haven't gotten their due diligence yet in any of the stories for real.
I'm a big fan of like doing more Redguard stuff. I think their architecture is really cool. And personally, the pirate thing I think is really neat, like the seafaring stuff. Like I really enjoy that like aesthetic. So having stuff kind of be around them, I think would be really cool going forward. Cause like you said, it's a little underutilized as like the main Redguard game we got so far was an offshoot game. And it was basically just like a makeshift Tomb Raider clone.
It's not really the same thing.
Caliber. It's very different than the rest of the series.
Yeah. And because of the Redguard culture, you have, like you mentioned, the architecture. And the architecture, to my eyes, looks very Middle Eastern influenced.
Yeah, very much so.
And parts of it are extremely beautiful. And then the Redguard culture as a whole is this, you know, culture of warriors and the sword skills and the sword singing. And there's a diversity even among the Redguards, those who hold to more of the traditions and those who are more progressive. So there's a lot there that you could build a game out of. So so I'm excited for that. But here, let's talk about some of the different zones. Of course, you have the Al-Akir Desert, which is situated in the western side of Hammerfell on the shores of the Iliac Bay. So some of these actual cities, but right up against the desert. They're like, there's the ocean and then there's the desert. And this borders Bankorai to the east. The main city is Sentinel, which you mentioned. Other locations include Lainlin, Bergama, Cozinset, and Satakalam.
Yeah, Satakalam.
Satakalam.
Again, feel free to try to phonetically get us to not screw these names up.
Yeah, yeah. This also contains the Dwemer city of Volenfell, which you mentioned.
Yep.
And the lost city of Natatambu.
Yeah,
I think I pronounced
it's a
that
public
right.
dungeon in ESO, if you're curious. That's the actual in-game thing. It's basically underground. It's been like buried, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then there's also the Motalian necropolis.
Yes,
which is another interesting location. It's one of two that I know of necropolises.
Yes,
in Tamriel. The other one being in Morrowind.
Right, the Necrom, which is where we'll be going next. Necrom.
Yep. Yep. So there's that location, and you can go visit Sentinel currently. Then there's Bankerai, which is a cool name.
Yes. Bankerai is a cool name. They have one of my favorite names in this region, which we'll touch on it.
Okay.
Point.
Yeah. So also known as the Fallen Wastes. Right. The Fallen Wastes. Was that it? Fallen Wastes?
Nope. Not the Fallen Wastes.
It's situated in northern Hammerfell. The region borders Alakir to the west and Craglorn to the east. Another cool name. All the regions in this area have like such cool names. It also borders northern Bankerai, which is part of High Rock across the famous Bankerai Pass.
Yes.
The main city is Holland's Stand, formerly named Ajwambu.
Yep.
Ajwambu. That's a good one, too. The Hall of Heroes is also located here. During the mid-second era, at the time of the Daggerfall Covenant, Bankerai as a whole was ruled by the High Rock city of Evermore. Did we hit the name that you wanted to?
Oh, no, not yet. No, not yet. We'll either get to it or I'll just chime in if it doesn't specifically mention it throughout our list. Because okay. Unfortunately, I think it sounds really awesome, but unfortunately, it is woefully underdeveloped. I just think it has a really badass name.
That's okay. But this area is mostly desert, except for it's kind of more rockier and rougher, a little bit more, I don't know, not mountainous, but just rocky. Not as sandy.
Not mountainous, but like, I guess
craggy.
Rocky. I feel like there's a craggy. I feel like there's a good name for what it is because they're not like huge mountains. It's just the terrain is super rough, and it's like they're exposed rocks in constant hills.
right. So then there's Craglorn. So Craglorn is the region of northeastern Hammerfell. It borders Bankerai to the west, Skyrim Holds of Falkreath, and the Reach to the northeast, and Cyrodiil across the Kolovian Highlands to the southeast. The main cities are Dragonstar and Elenher. Elenher! I don't know
sounds
what that means.
Sounds very heroic.
Yeah, it sounds like something you yell when going to battle. The region was the last bastion of the Needs, and the remnants of their civilization can be found there. The southern part of the region, called Lower Craglorn, consists mainly of windswept dry plains, whereas Upper Craglorn is mountainous and very similar to the Reach, which is just across the mountains to the north.
I think that was the first adventure zone, it was called at the time. But basically, it was the first like straight up addition to the Elder Scrolls Online when they started adding to the base game.
Yeah, it's a cool area because it doesn't feel desert.
I thought it was
like
really
areas.
Like cool. I really like that region because it's a good mix of kind of all of what we've mentioned, except for because it's landlocked, except for like the coastline bit. It's got some of the you know, rocky, craggy terrain. It's got desert portions,
right? But it's not like the sandy desert like the other zones. It's more like just like
it's more of like
in between areas that are just kind of
it's honestly kind of like if you took all of the demographics and from Hammerfell and just kind of smushed them together, it's like the weird like adjoining of all of the different climates in one zone.
The best of hits.
Yeah, exactly. The best of hits region.
So there's that. So there's Craglorn, and then there's Ikkadag. This is the word you were looking for.
Nope, we're getting there.
Ikkadag.
Ikkadag's an interesting one.
It is. Ikkadag is a countryside in Hammerfell and is famously where King Sepphoris I battled Emperor Uriel III in the War of the Red Diamond before the latter's capture. Interesting. I don't know much about Ikkadag.
This also fills out exactly kind of like what I alluded to as my the region that I think that was really cool because it's really not super developed yet. And right. Dekadag kind of is also like that. So
it's sometimes you get these regions that are just mentioned in like one of the books somewhere and it's, yeah, that's all we know. So that's all we know. Then there's Khephren. Khephren is a southern coastal region of Hammerfell and includes the peninsula of Hughesbane, also another really cool name, mm-hmm, once known as Khephren's Boot. In the days of the Regatta, Prince Hubalajad, wow, also known as Prince Hugh, endeavored to bring civilizations to the Barren Peninsula. But all of his efforts met with misfortune. A sizable port city called Abba's Landing was eventually established in the eastern corner of Hughesbane.
Again, that another portion that was added to the Elder Scrolls Online. We got it with the Thieves Guild area.
That's true. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. You can run around there and there's some good old beasties in that area to go.
It's a pretty cool little port city.
Mm-hmm. Then there's Stros Mackay, which we mentioned before, a tropical island in the Abyssian Sea off the southern coast of Hammerfell. The main city is also known as Stros Mackay, although it was formerly known as Port Hunding for the Great Hunding.
We've talked about
him before. The island often serves as a haven for pirates and other criminals. It is also famous for its Dwemer ruins, which mark the western reaches of the Rorkan Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So Stros Mackay is one of those like starting locations.
It's your starter zone for joining the Daggerfall Covenant.
Right. And if you're wondering what Rorkan is, that was a specific house of a Dwemer that lived in this area. So it's just known for that because that's who lived there, which again would be really cool to explore more of. Then we have Sunforge.
This is my favorite.
This is your favorite. All right. Sunforge.
I love the name Sunforge. It sounds so badass.
Yeah, like forging the sun.
I just wish there was more to it.
Sunforge is a landlocked region in central Hammerfell. It contains the city of Skaven and there needs to be a ska band named Skaven. Or is it Skaven? Is it pronounced Skaven?
Well, it's hard to tell because of the apostrophes. They occasionally throw out some interesting apostrophes. Alakir, Stros Mackay, Skaven.
Scott, apostrophe, V-Y-N.
Yes. So sometimes there's a peculiarly placed apostrophe that makes me question how to pronounce something.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying ska rather than skay.
I would say Skaven, too, just because of the way it's cut.
Right. It was once the native homeland of the Kep'tu people. The Urk and Tark rivers are found to the south. In the countryside outside of Skaven is in one of the halls of the Virtues of War. And in that form of the word, it's actually spelled S-K-A-V-E-N. So that looks like Skaven.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a colloquial spelling. More of a
maybe
imperial imperialization of the word.
Yeah, that's a good word. Imperialization of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's the Halls of the Virtues of War, where there are still people who follow the old ways and are believed by some to be able to form a Shihai sword.
Which, if we do go to that, you know, the region of Hammerfell in the Elder Scrolls 6, I assume that will be our, not to be condescending in the way, because it comes across as like a condescending term, but that will be the gimmick of the game, I assume.
Our special ability, like a dragon
shout.
Yes, shouts,
our special right. gimmick. Like, right. okay, you have shouts or you have this, and it's like, in that one, I assume, because shouts were so popular and Skyrim exploded in popularity, you're going to want something to parallel, mm-hmm. like similarities to the most popular game they've ever made. And I would think the ability to control a Shihai sword would be a pretty good one if that is where it takes place. That would be a pretty cool superpower.
Yeah, so a Shihai sword is like a spirit sword. It is part of the sword singing thing that the Red Guards, or at least the people the Red Guard came from, the Regatta, could do.
Yeah,
and it's supposedly gone away. It's gone. There are no more sword singers, or so we think.
Right. And it's basically you can control, you know, your sword singing energy so much that you can physically manifest a version of it, which is pretty wild. So that'd be a pretty cool feature, I think.
Yes. Yes. So there's all those locations and one more called The Chain. The Chain is a little known archipelago in the Abyssian Sea. That's a hard word to say sometimes. That is made up of at least three islands. That's all we know.
That's all we know. And it's also funny because how did you say Abyssian Sea? Because I say it differently than
Abyssian,
you as well.
Abyssian Sea?
I say Abyssian, but I say Abyssian.
Wow, words are weird.
I feel like the only reason I say that is because I think I heard somebody say it in game, but Abyssian. That also
that's probably right.
Doesn't mean that there's not, like, because people say stuff different in game too, depending upon who's saying it.
It's
like,
true.
So that is also not concrete. It's almost like they did a real good job world building.
Yeah, Rob says it the way I do it, and we know that he knows how to pronounce things correctly, so.
Yeah.
We're gonna go with Rob in chat. Thanks, Rob.
Rob's got my back.
By the way, we're all staying at Rob's house while we're in Vegas.
Yeah. Yep. Confirmed.
We're not gonna say any more about that on the show, and everyone's gonna be very confused.
Yes. What is happening?
On that note, we've talked about all these different locations. Why don't we take a break and thank our patrons and we'll come back. We've got flora and fauna and some other things to talk about. So we'll be right back.
This is Hamish Morak. Dragonborn, you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, this is the part of the show where we get to thank our new patrons, including Mr. Bob and Vance P. Thank you for signing up. Welcome to the Patreon. And we get to shout out our Danger Princes, Kirasi, Neon Knight, and Noodle El Dente, because they are Tier 5 Danger Princes and they get shout outs every week. And that brings us up to 129 current patrons. So thank you for all of your support. If you are curious about what things you can get for signing up and helping to support the show, head over to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. You can get ad-free episodes, you can get t-shirts, special limited t-shirts that will not be sold anywhere else ever, and Lotus and I can't even have them. And by the way, since we're speaking about t-shirts, if you are or have been a patron and have gotten some shirts or some items, please bring them to Vegas. Show us what they look like, because we haven't seen them in person.
Yeah, I've only seen the one that I got before I joined the show.
Yeah, or the pictures online. Sometimes people post pictures.
Yeah, otherwise I just know what they look like via the people posting them in Discord.
Come wear your shirts and stuff. Bring those out. So, but thank you to everybody who supports the show. And we couldn't do this without you. Also, we don't have any new reviews this week, but if you'd like to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, then we'll read it out on a future episode. And leaving a review on, or at least a rating on places like Spotify or whatever other podcast you're listening to this on, is a wonderful way to help make sure that other people know that this is a show worth checking out. So thanks to everybody for the support. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
So we're back, and Lotus, we went through most of these locations, which mentioned most of the notable places.
Yeah, we kind of covered the notable places for the most part.
I'm gonna just read them all out, and if there's any of that stick out to you that you want to add a little bit more to, then let me know. So we've got Abba's Landing, Azra's Crossing, Dragon's...
The only reason I'll stop you with that one...
Okay.
Because I like to add some really bizarre tidbit from the series. Azra's Crossing is actually where you start the game, the Elder Scrolls Travel Shadowkey.
Really? Oh, so yes. There's a Hammerfell location in Shadowkey.
Yes. In fact, Dragonstar is actually in Shadowkey as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that one, Azra's Crossing, I just figured that one specifically I wanted to bring up, just because it's like that's going to be our weird pull for the episode. Shadowkey was in this region.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool stuff. Yep. And then Dragonstar also, which
Dragonstar is actually a major quest point.
That's got to be a band name, right? There's got to be a band named Dragonstar.
Dragonstar.
Yep. There is. Yep.
There
just
it
searched
is.
It. Go check out Dragonstar.
Perfect.
They didn't sponsor the show, and I have never listened to them before.
And if they're awful, then don't blame us.
Sorry. But that's obviously a band name. And most of these could be band names, or at least the names of songs, if they're words that are stuck together that are like English words. Like the next one, Elenhir. Nobody knows whether that's not a band name, right? So Elenhir, Gilane, which is a town in southern Hammerfell, lying west of Tanith and southeast of Sentinel. So it's another just one of those locations you can visit. Hallen's Stand, Hegath, we mentioned that, Rihad, Sentinel, Skaven or Skaven, Strassmakai, and Tanith, which the rest of these we mentioned before.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about all that wonderful flora in the desert.
Perfect. All right. I'll cover this whole section. This is going to be really in depth. So buckle your seatbelts and all that, because this is going to be a long thing. It's a desert. So there's basically palm trees and cactuses. The end.
That's it. That's it. Guess what? Palm trees near the coast, cactuses near the rest of it, all over.
Yeah, it's actually pretty arid, and there's actually just not a lot.
Right. And there are the jungly locations that look a little bit more
right.
wet.
So,
and things
so you
like
get
that,
a little bit of plant life, but for the most part, yeah, it's really, really limited in the flora department.
Yeah. And to Rob the Princess in chat says, there's probably hundreds of species of cacti. That's probably true. But
oh, yeah.
To the layman, they all just look like cactuses.
Yeah.
So there you go. Cacti. Yep. Cacti? Cactuses? Cacti? Ka-ta-ka-ta.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Smees? I don't know.
What about the fauna? Let's talk about the fauna.
Okay, fauna we can actually do something more elaborate with, as there are some creatures. But again, it's hot and dry, so you get a lot of weird stuff. You had actually mentioned that the Alakir Desert wasn't so hospitable because of some of the creatures that are chilling there.
Well, it's another reason why we know the Red Guards are so formidable, is that they are the ones who were able to settle in this area and took on the beasties in order to like clean it out, in order to make it livable.
And some of the things are pretty unpleasant. The first one that's actually mentioned on the UESP, I think is definitely worth noting. They're called Dune Rippers, which these things are pretty horrifying to actually look at. They're basically like an armor-plated...
Oh, they're cute.
Lizard. I mean, they're like, that's fine.
They're like desert crocodiles.
Yeah, all right, a desert crocodile. Yeah, I was going to say, it's like an armor-plated lizard, but I feel
like
that thing
ran into you. It's like an armadillo mated with a crocodile
you.
And then decided to move to the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the more unique creatures of the area, there's also assassin beetles, which are just like they can kind of like
big mean
cloak
big
and,
mean
beetle, yeah they're
beetles.
Full of acid, which isn't great. When you kill them, it boils all over the place, makes a mess. You get giant scorpions, crocodiles, jackals, harpies, giant wasps. Lamias live near the water areas, which are, we've talked about them before. They're kind of like snake-like creatures, but
intelligent,
not fully snaky.
Yeah, they're kind of people like.
Yeah,
sneaky
and then there's
people.
Various lions and senche and stuff like that.
Things
so,
that live in the more jungly areas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the other thing is Craglorn brought some other kind of weird things that we hadn't seen a lot in the series prior to. One of which are called Welwas.
Uh huh. Yeah. We talked about the Welwas didn't in Morrowind, aren't there Welwas?
There are, and so they're now kind of like
all over the place.
It's an asset that's been used in other areas. Craglorn was the one that introduced Welwas, from what I remember, and I believe we talked about them, but they're kind of like weird four or six eyed dog thing.
Yeah, they're like hyenas jacked up on like roided out hyenas with extra pair of eyes.
Yeah.
They're a little weird.
I don't know why dune racers are listed separately. They're just thinner dune rippers. There's also camels and sand roaches.
Yeah, we don't have sand roaches here. We have swamp roaches.
Great. That's good too.
We have gigantic palmetto bugs that can get like real big. They're
lovely.
Yeah.
Fennec foxes. There's a lot of like.
That's got to be a band name too, right? Fennec fox.
Fennec fox. Fennec fox sounds like it would be a band.
It sounds like an indie band. Like
it really.
Hey
does.
Man, I'm going down to the Palladium. Check out Fennec fox this weekend. They're opening up for. I don't know who do they open up for.
Wow.
They're opening the Postal Service reunion. they're opening for. Yeah,
they're gonna pay their rent next year once. The only other thing that I feel like might
Fennec
be specifically
I'm looking it up right
worth
now.
Mentioning, because they're a creature where
yep Fennec Fox is an indie rock band from Wausau, Wisconsin.
Perfect. Maybe also, go check them out too.
A band, Fennec the Fox. There's two of them.
Okay, that's a little weird.
Yeah, no, I was right. That's the thing.
There's more Fennec Fox based bands than there are Dragon Star bands, which.
Oh, maybe there's more Dragon. I only just pulled the first one I guess saw. That's true. We only I just Googled it and just saw the first result.
How did we get here?
Welcome to one of my shows.
Yeah. How did we end up here? What was I going to say? Oh, the only other thing that I specifically wanted to mention, they are an ESO, but I always joke that they're much more notable because you encounter them frequently in Shadowkey, like we had made reference to before. They're called a Wormmouth.
Yeah. It's Worm, like Worm, W. We've talked about these guys. Yeah.
Right. Wormmouth. They're similar bipedal thing to like a guar,
right?
But it's just kind of a pair of legs and a giant mouth,
like a big beak mouth. And ESO version is much more reptilian. The old Shadowkey version is like this poor, terrible bird made out of 12 polygons.
It is horrific bird monster.
Oh god, go look this up.
It is a. It's not overly pixelated, but what it is, it was from that time where 3D modeling was really jagged. Think of the rocks from the region and then turn that into a creature and you have one of these.
right. Yeah, because, you know, your processor can only manage to do like 100 polygons
at a time.
So they had to like make each creature out of like 10.
Yeah, it's like, we've only got 8 left to make this thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, those are a little bit weird. There's also floaters.
We've talked about floaters.
Did we talk about floaters?
I don't know if we mentioned floaters.
Different. They're more jellyfish like, and they do like. I'm doing it's a thing like with a my niche. Hand where I'm moving it up and down and spreading out my fingers as I move down and then pulling them together as I move up. That was a pretty good explanation. Good job, Tom. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they look kind of like. They look like floating hats that move like jellyfish.
They look kind of like. Not a netch, not as fat. Like it's like round as like a netch would be because they flatten out like
more
you
flappy,
said, like a hat,
more flappy.
Yes,
or like an octopus, like the way that an octopus would move. Yeah,
or jellyfish. Like literally, if you watch a jellyfish move, but picture the jellyfish not being so spherical.
Yeah. So that's it. So those are the creatures in Hammerfell.
Theater of the mind, right there for everybody.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Most of this being a desert. You've got a lot of reptiles and like bug-like creatures, insect-like creatures, things like that, beetles and things. So that's that stuff. I feel like this episode's been all over the place. Anything else worth mentioning? We talked about the architecture, we didn't describe it too detailed, but think of any like Middle Eastern desert location. It's got a very similar kind of feel to that. I feel like that's the main inspiration for the Red Guard in their architecture, which is really cool looking and fits the region very well.
Yeah.
Any other weird things about this one?
No, I think that pretty much covers the Hammerfell region for the most part.
Okay. Well, I've got a little bit of trivia here from
dive into some weird trivia stuff
from the fandom.com site. It always has some fun little trivia. So, let's see. The first one says in The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, there's a way to be in this province with borders on across from the Brenna River, approximately where Rihad should be. It is a very small area that you can walk around. However, you can kind of break the game and get into it a little bit. Since
all right.
It borders on it. You can do the same thing in Skyrim and actually move down into Cyrodiil, I believe.
That sounds familiar now that you're saying that.
Right. It's not actually like fleshed out, but you can get over certain mountain areas and just kind of wander around. You can even see where like the White Gold Tower is in the distance.
Yep.
They modeled that far. Let's see. Another one. Hammerfell got his name out of respect for the final battle of the Sword Singers at Hattu Mountain. Hammerfell. That's where the hammer fell.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Kirkbride, your favorite person ever, wanted to give the province a new African sounding name in an effort to make it more original and describe the origin of the name Hammerfell as having been swiped from Marion Zimmer Bradley, or from her 1989 novel, The Heirs of Hammerfell.
Huh.
So I think that makes sense, right? Like the idea of doing something as an homage to an African writer and using words that people who influenced the area and the development of this game might make sense to come from.
Try to give it some roots in those who actually wrote it.
Yeah, some authenticity.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. So the final one, in Skyrim, bandits may sing a song. Once was a woman, fair as an evening, in the springtime of old Strauss Mackay. That's a little ditty the bandits like to sing.
Perfect.
You know, because they're lonely. Because they're... They're a bunch of rude men.
Their imminent demise is coming over the...
Yeah, they didn't know that the dragonborn just is going to like yeet them off a mountain with a shout.
Yeah, then I'm like, ooh, there's 42 cents worth of stuff here, and then just blast them into the stratosphere.
Right. Yeah, gone. So there you go. That's Hammerfell. And man, if we were... Okay, so let's say 4 years go by. And we get, this is optimistic. In the next four years, we get the next Elder Scrolls game. And we're going to have to come back to this episode if it does actually take place in Hammerfell, because a lot of this information is going to be highly updated.
Yes. Somehow I feel like if this is the region for the next mainline numbered Elder Scrolls game, it's going to get expanded quite a bit.
Yeah. So we're going to have a lot more to say about this. So if you're listening to this 4 years from now and you're like, you guys totally missed the mark on Hammerfell. Well, guess what? The new game wasn't out yet. So...
Also, in 4 years, you can tell us that, man, I wish this game was out at this point.
Because it still won't be. Oh, man. Yeah, they pushed back Starfield to the fall. That means we're getting Starfield in the fall of 2023. When's the earliest you think we'll get the next Elder Scrolls?
So originally, like several years ago, I actually made this joke on the old unofficial Elder Scrolls podcast before we kind of became the unofficial Elder Scrolls podcast at Tales of Tamriel. I said, strap yourself in. 2035 is going to be a great year when we get Elder Scrolls 6. Uh-huh. And every year that goes by, it concerns me that we're getting closer and closer. And I'm like, oh, God, if that actually happens, what have I done?
Wow. 12 years still?
Yeah. No, I think I can't imagine it would be that bad.
Oh, Rosticus in chat says 2030.
All right.
OK, so they have in the past turned out new games or sequels to games in a 4 to 5 year development time. That has happened. Like the distance between Oblivion and Fallout 3 and Skyrim is pretty short. And those are still some big games. So, and then from Skyrim to Fallout 4, it was like four or something, almost 5 years.
I think it was almost 5 years.
So I think we're at the probably 5 years range.
Well, the other thing too, which I guess this will just be how we bounce off before we end the episode. Mm-hmm. I think if this new, when Starfield eventually lands, I think that if this new engine, for the most part, that they're using works the way they want it to, that might help going forward. Because the big running thing was the fact that it seemed like they were very reluctant to do much of an engine overhaul, but it kind of became like a necessity.
Right, right.
So, like, I'm wondering if a lot of these big delays, and they did other projects and stuff, and also Microsoft is now, you know, owners of the company, like they are related to it. So who knows exactly how that changes the way things work. But if this engine becomes something that can be used more again for a longer period of time,
or they have to make less updates to it in order to achieve the thing that they're doing, because they already did all the updating. I think that was the original plan.
The biggest jump, exactly.
Right, was let's put the engine update into the development time for Starfield. And now we're at like, what, 8 years of development before launch. Right. And so if you put that as 5 years of like building out the game and 3 years of, and I know you can't actually split it that way, but 3 years of engine development. Now you don't have that 3 years of engine development for the next Elder Scrolls game. So maybe you could churn that out in 3 to 4 years, hopefully.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how that goes. Well, that's it for Hammerfell and for our speculation. But, you know, only time will tell. Lotus,
yep.
Anything else you want to share before we head out?
No, I was going to say not really on my end, as I'm preparing for being away pretty much all of next week, as I have something that I actually an NDA'd about, which is kind of weird, but it does relate to this type of stuff. So stay tuned when I can talk about it. I'll be happy to.
All right.
And then it goes right into PAX East. So I'm going to be really, really indisposed for like the next week. It'll be fun, but I'll also be very, very tired. So I had talked to you. You'll probably end up running.
We'll do an episode next week. Well, I'll figure it out. Well, yeah, I'll figure something out. I'm not sure if it'll be a live episode or not. So we may not actually have video for it.
We'll be missing in action. Right. So.
But we'll figure it out. I'll figure something out. So expect an episode next week as normal, just without a Lotus. We won't have no Lotus here. So
missing one Lotus.
Missing a Lotus.
Hopefully I'll be returning with lots of fun stories and stuff.
Yeah. We'll have fun. I think I might know what you're doing, but I won't say it live on the show. Have a fun time with that. Come back and tell us when you can. And
absolutely.
We'll look forward to it.
All right.
But yeah, we'll have an episode next week. And of course, if you're looking for other shows, if you're looking for other Elder Scrolls shows or other shows about Bethesda games like Fallout and Starfield, I've got shows for those. You have all sorts of awesome stuff. Go to robotsradio.net. Check all that stuff out. Lots of awesome content. And thanks for tuning in. Chat, thank you for being here. Everybody, thank you for supporting the show. And we'll see you next time. Stay safe out there in the desert where there's big old weird monsters and stuff. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.